Young people, you can go to your class if you'd like to go this time. If you have a Bible, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. That song is entitled, what Cheryl played, "The King is Coming." And I remember them singing that shortly after I got saved in our church. Great song. Great song. The old songs are good. Titus chapter 1. There's a saying that when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. It's because gratitude is focused on what the Lord has done for us, really connects us with Him, and it encourages us. It strengthens our heart, our mind, etc. But to be hopeless is a bad thing. Amen. We're going to look at that this morning. Titus is a good book to turn to for that. And we'll begin reading here. Oh, let's start in verse 11. Titus chapter 1, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And then it says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Boy, that's encouraging. And we always have hope. It's called the blessed hope. But let's bow our heads and pray for the service. Lord, bless your word today. I pray, God, that it would find its way into every heart. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the scriptures that guide us. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would do his work today. May we be encouraged. May our hope be strong. May our faith be strengthened also. May we increase in strength there. But just bless your word as it goes forward now. In Jesus' name, amen. The blessed hope. Last week, we spoke about spiritual blessings. And spiritual blessings are good. Amen? The riches of his grace, the know-so that you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, those are encouraging things. And they're blessings. They are greater blessings than the blessings of this world. Hope is to place confidence in, to trust in with confident expectation of good. And so Joel chapter 3, verse 16 says, "The Lord will be the hope of his people." That's the ultimate source of our hope. "Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above." And we know that God is good. He gives us, amen. It's more blessed to give than receive. We study that a little bit. But God gives us his grace, his mercy, his strength, his wisdom, and we worship him for that. And it's a real thing that comes from our heart because our salvation is real. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12, before I read that, spiritual hope, there's an emotion connected with it. Like we said, if a man doesn't have gratitude, he's all of all men most miserable, and he's without hope because he doesn't have that gratitude. There's an emotion that is connected with that. And so spiritual hope has emotion. The emotions are peace and joy, among others. But Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." You ever hope for something and it didn't come to pass? You were hoping for a good day and it rained. You're hoping for rain and it was a good day, you know. And sometimes our hopes are not realized. And so hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But the rest of the verse goes, "But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life." And boy, there's a real encouragement. There's something you hope for, you expect to receive it, and it's a good thing. And when it happens, that's always a blessing. But hope deferred maketh the heart sick. We think about the book of Peter where it says, "Where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were since the fathers fell asleep." And you're singing about the king is coming. You're preaching about it. You're using the Bible verses about it. Sometimes people lose hope because he hasn't come yet. But it will be fulfilled at one time. Amen? We know that he's going to come back for us. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul, he's a prisoner. He's in a ship, and he's on his way to Rome. And it got pretty bad. He had warned them about the weather, and he was not heeded about that. And a storm came up, and they were very afraid that they were going to sink. So they threw all the goods overboard. They did this, they did that. But the storm went on for 3 days, 3 nights, and there wasn't any moon to see or stars to see. It was just a lot of despair. And the Apostle Paul said this in Acts 27:20. And when there was neither sun nor stars, and many days appeared, and no small temple lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But Paul said, be of good cheer, I believe God. Be of good cheer. In the midst of that storm, in the midst of all of that trial and all of that heartache, an amazing thing happened. He spent some time with the Lord and he said, be of good cheer, I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. We're not going to lose our life. And that's exactly what happened. In the midst of a hopeless situation, his hope was in God. The psalmist said this in Psalm 42:11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. So we put our hope in God because at some time in the future, our expectation is from him. His promises are sure. They're true. Amen. And when we talk about hope, it's not, boy, I hope he does. No, we can depend on his word, claim that promise, and that will help us. But we are to have our hope based on him. Turning your Bibles to Romans, Romans chapter 8. I just want to read a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin in verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I'll wait till you get there. This is what Paul said, verse 18 of Romans 8. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Suffering in the present time, the glory in the future time, which shall be revealed. Look with me also at verse 25. The Bible says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We believe it's going to come, and so we patiently wait for it. Look with me at verse 35. We'll go to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or distress or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Boy, it's pretty inclusive. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And sometimes we focus on our needs today and the heartaches today and the trials today, and we forget about all the promises for the future. That's where our hope is, and that's what Titus is talking about, the blessed hope, the great God and appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great promise. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So that hope is real because the scriptures cannot be broken. It is impossible for God to lie. So you can count on every word coming to pass. Amen? But again, sometimes we focus on what's going on now. Man, we are in a hopeless situation. That's the time to read the Bible. Amen? That's the time to pray. Because sometimes our circumstances do look hopeless. In Lamentations chapter 3, in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, past, therefore I have hope, future. What do you recall to your mind? Well, sometimes the scriptures. Amen? Sometimes a verse, sometimes a book, sometimes a chapter somewhere. And it helps us. It strengthens us. And so we recall those things to mind. But I would say, if God's ever worked in your life, you go back in those circumstances and you see what God did for you. Yesterday helped me. Today he did the same. How long will this continue? Forever praise his name. I was at a party yesterday for my nephew. He joined the Marines, and it was a going away party. And we were sitting on the front porch. Obviously, his dad's my brother, and we're reminiscing about salvation, about how God did this and God did that. We were talking about the providence of God, and our conversation was really encouraging. Amen? It's good to get around people sometime that just encourage you in the Lord. And you share some of the things that God has done for you. Because He's good to us. Amen? And if you're saved today, you've seen that over and over and over where God has blessed you. But He is the God of hope. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of mercy. But He's the God of hope. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think on these things, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. So what we think about is good. Amen? If you think hopelessly, what does it do? It really gets you excited, doesn't it? If you have hopeless thoughts. No, I don't think so. When you have good thoughts, you get excited. And so God does that for us. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. In Psalm 62 and verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And he's talking about the future. There's a song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Great song. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. If He's real to us, that's where we put our trust. That's where we put our faith. That's where we put our hope. Do you believe the promises of God? Every Christian would say yes. Amen. And so we find those promises in the Bible. And when we've seen those promises be fulfilled, some aren't yet, but they will be in the future. But when you've seen the promise of God give you grace, give you strength, give you wisdom to make a decision, then that's exciting in your life. Romans 15, I want to get back to the emotional part of this. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Isn't that good? Does he do that for you? He can. Amen. Now the God of hope through the fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. There's a correlation there between abounding in hope and joy and peace. And the more hope you have and the more faith you have, the more peace you have and the more joy you have. Amen. And why would we choose the opposite? Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we're told to think the right things, whatsoever is good and lovely and honest and all of those. And then it will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Choose hope. Choose faith. Choose believing the scripture, not doubting the scripture. Because the doubts are what take us away from that joy and that peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Same thing. And that when we have that, we abound in that hope. And they kind of feed off one another. Amen? Get around somebody and start talking about something negative. They feed off one another. So change the conversation. Go to the hope. Go to the faith. Go to how good God is and what He's done for you in the past and what you expect Him to do for you in the future. And the whole scenario changes. But it's a good thing. There is an emotion to it. In the Christian life, we endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ. But one day the battle will be won. Amen? And that's the blessed hope that we look for. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Salvation and joy are connected. David, when he was getting right with the Lord, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. This joy is the strength of the Lord that God gives us. It gives you purpose. It gives you the will to go on. Amen. But it's a good thing to have joy. Amen. Everybody look at me. It's a good thing to have joy. Well, it is a good thing to have joy. The woman at the well, she was there, and she was there at noon. She was an outcast, and Jesus came along. He says he must needs go through Samaria, so God had a connection there. And he begins to talk to her, and he said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living waters. And that promise was fulfilled. Amen? She accepted the Lord as her Savior. She ran back into the town, ran. She left her water pot. There's a lot of preaching in those verses. And she told everybody, come see a man, told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they believed her, and they came out, and there was joy in their hearts too. Amen. It's something that spreads. our cup runs over. If you have joy, well, some people you can't give joy to. They have to get it on their own. But it's a help. Amen? And she asked of him for that living water, and she got it, which was a blessing. The Ethiopian eunuch, God takes Philip from Samaria. He's at a revival. Here's a man. He was a treasurer, and he was in Jerusalem. He's going back home. He's in the desert. And God says to Philip, go to the desert. And so he goes to the desert, and then God says, join yourself to that chariot. And so he did that too. Philip was the one who knew God. The Ethiopian eunuch did not know God. And so the eunuch was reading a scroll, Isaiah 53. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the man got saved. And guess what? He went to Jerusalem to find God or find religion. He didn't find it there. Now he found God, and he went on his way. Let's see, what's that next word? Rejoicing. That's the word. Because he found the Lord. Amen? And sometimes when we look at the circumstances of life, we lose hope. You just lose hope. This isn't ever going to change. This is going to get worse. Boy, I'm really worried about this. And all of the different things that come, the hardness, the tribulation. But there's a joy that God can give because it's connected to a spiritual blessing. It's connected to what he's going to do for us one day. Dark times, but the sun is coming. Amen. And the sun will come up again. I love that story. He went on his way rejoicing. Thomas Brooks wrote this, a Christian will part with anything rather than his hope. You don't want to lose hope. And you get hope when you're in the Word and you believe God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And so that Word gives you faith, hope, and that gives you your joy because you know how this is going to end. He knows that hope will keep the heart both from aching and breaking, from fainting and sinking. He knows that hope is a beam of God, a spark of glory, and that nothing shall extinguish it till the soul be filled with glory. And when the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, that is a good thing. Amen? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. All of those things are good for the heart and good for the believer. James Smith wrote this, we should hope in his mercy, in his patience, in his provision, in his plenteous redemption. We should hope for light in darkness, strength in weakness, direction in perplexity, for deliverance in danger, victory in conflict, and triumph in death, because hope helps. Hope helps. Never lose your hope. Amen? And you might lose hope in people, and we'll look at that in a minute. People can disappoint you. God never will disappoint you. You can hope in him, and it will come to pass. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a spiritual thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's all about charity. That's love in action. And the Bible is showing a real picture there, but it goes on and says, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Then it says, charity never faileth. That's a good thing. Amen? Charity never faileth. It does something for you. Things may not get better in this life, but they'll be better in the next. Much better. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Turn over there. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. One verse says, if we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. So here we are in life where we're reading the Bible. We're in church today. We got things going on at home, things going on at work, things going on in the family. If in this life only, boy, I wish God would change this. I wish he would change that. We're talking about the resurrection chapter. We're talking about the future where God is going to prepare. He has prepared a place for us, and that's where we're going to live eternally. But look, the whole chapter is good. There's only 58 verses. We'll read the whole chapter. I'm just kidding. The gospel is told in the first four verses. Let's go down to verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. There's nothing to what's going on in church today. If Christ is not risen and risen in our hearts, if this is not real to us, this is a duty we're going through right now. This isn't something that gives us hope or gives us faith or helps us to grow closer to the Lord or is an answer to prayer somewhere or an experience where you feel the filling of the Spirit. It's just something to do. It goes on and it says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. These are hypothetical ifs. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Now is Christ risen from the dead. This is the most exciting thing about being a Christian, that we are saved by the blood of Christ, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but he rose again for our justification. And because he lives, we shall live also. We have abundant life now, we have eternal life, but one day that will be realized. And so we lift up our eyes, we look toward the hills, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That takes us down another road, puts us in another room, creation. Amen? I believe that. I believe God spoke the worlds into existence. And one truth, one promise to another, and we abound in that hope because we know it's impossible for God to lie. You've got to be filled with the Word to be filled with the Spirit, because that's what keeps us so close to the Lord. Paul and Silas are singing at midnight in Acts chapter 16. They're in prison. They think they're going to die in the morning. I know why Paul was singing. I'm not sure about Silas, but I know why Paul was singing. It's midnight. They had been beaten. They think they're going to die in the morning, and Paul is singing. There's another verse that I think of the Apostle Paul. And one, it says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He wasn't worried about it. He knew if he was going to die in the morning, he would be with the Lord. And so he was singing. Isn't that amazing? What do we do when we lose hope in this life? We don't sing unless it's a country western song, you know. Oh, the truck broke down and the dog ran away and, you know, lost my job and, you know. But I mean, the hope is out the window. But when our hope is in God, there's hope every day. His mercies are new every day. And when we are able to find that in the Word and the Spirit of God, thy word is truth, John 17:17. And then a couple chapters later it says, the Spirit will guide us into all truth. So there we are. We're eating the Word. We're feasting off the Word. It's giving us strength for our souls. Paul and Silas are singing. One of the martyrs, there's a book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or read it. You ought to read some of it sometime in your life. And it talked about the martyrs in the old days that were burned at the stake, killed in a number of different ways, how they loved God and they sang even at the burning of the stake. And I looked up a couple of them. And one sang this song. I can't find where the song is, but or the music for it or anything. I just have one verse, a couple verses of it. I will delight in singing in God who overjoys my heart. For grace he is in me bringing, that I am from death depart. Which lasting ever hath no end, I praise thee, Christ, from heaven, who dost my grief attend. There was a man that sang that when they were burning him at the stake. There's another man, Blaurock. He was an outspoken and fervent evangelist. He was in prison multiple times, beaten severely with rods, eventually burned at the stake, and he sang, it's another song. Can you imagine being tied to a stake and the fire starts to come up and singing a song? So will I then be parting with comrades mine indeed. May God us grace imparting and to his kingdom lead, that we in faith all doubt transcend, his holy work fulfilling. He sang that song until he died. It's amazing. We're not tied to the stake. Amen? Our worst troubles, I don't know. Don't even want to make a comment on that. but it's a nice soft sea you're sitting on today. And we sing songs, and we ought to sing them with so much glory and so much worship and so much praise. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his church with praise. We're to be praising the Lord. That's why we sing. Amen? And this is comfortable. Boy, the temperature is nice. Amen? And if I quit preaching in 15 minutes, it'll be more comfortable. Right? But there's cookies. Amen? I should never say that in the middle of a message, because then you want your cookies. But anyway, God is good to us. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration, our worship. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Otherwise, it's just what you're supposed to do. Amen? Worship me in spirit and in truth. Make it real. And how do we make it real? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we praise God because he's worthy of praise. Amen, 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 amen. Their hope, these martyrs, was in God because their hope in eternity sustained them. They knew, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Our hope sustains us in our trials because we know that God works everything for his good. He doeth all things well. The trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at what? The appearing of Jesus Christ. So that's a blessed hope. That's what we're looking for. And we want to be found when he comes, not ashamed, but worshiping him, glorifying him for all his goodness to us. In Daniel chapter 3, there's a story about the three Hebrew children. That's what we call them, three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they were grown men. And they were commanded by the king. He had made a golden image to himself. And he wanted everybody to bow down and worship him. He became that God. And so the music would play. Everybody bowed down and worshiped, but there were three men that didn't bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they were given another chance. Next time the music is played, you bow down. The only three in all this multitude. So the music plays again, and they're still standing. And this is what the Bible says. When they were told they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." You ever pray like that? God, I know you're able to do this. Please, God, I've been praying for this for a number of years, and I know you're able. God is able to do everything, all things. Amen. But if not, that's what the next verse says. But if he doesn't do it, if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Our God is able to do this. We pray. You do pray, right? Everybody prays. We read the word. We pray. We ask God our petitions. We know he's able to do those. We prayed Ida would come back to church. Hip, hip, hooray. Amen? God answered that prayer. It's so good to see her. And there's other prayers that we have prayed for you. And I won't go down the line, but there's been real answer to prayers. But what if he doesn't answer it? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So he has another purpose. Amen. And sometimes you still have the trial for a reason. And we'll see that maybe in a little bit too. You think about Job in Job chapter 1 and verse 22. Job was a good man. He was a righteous man. But he lost everything. All his money, his children. He just lost everything, even his health. And it says this, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." In all that. Chapter 2 and verse 10, his wife says, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Boy, there was a real conflict there. So other things happened. He even lost his friends. And the Bible says, "In all this, Job sinned not with his lips." In all this, you ever have a good day? Praise the Lord. One of you. That's good. I picked the right message. if you've had a good day, that's a good day. I mean, just enjoy it. They're all not good days in our perception. But in God, God's doing something. Amen? He might use a trial to get us closer to Him. Not all the time. He might use a trial in our life for us to be a testimony to somebody else. I mean, there's so many reasons. But God is always good. He's a good God. And what He does is good. He doeth good all the time. But sometimes we have a bad day. What's different in our faith in a good day and a bad day? I had a friend in our church in Sturgis, and he put on his answering machine, praise the Lord. And so every time you would call and he didn't answer, the answering machine would say, praise the Lord, you know. And then he, whenever you'd call him and he'd answer the phone, he would say, praise the Lord. But sometimes he wasn't praising the Lord. We can praise the Lord all the time. Amen? Because He doeth all things well. There's a purpose absolutely in everything in our life. His hope sustains us during loss and criticism. Boy, his friends criticized him. Genesis chapter 50. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. But God had a plan for Joseph and for his whole family. And Joseph finally said at the end, I won't tell the whole story, but he said to his brothers who wanted him dead and then sold him away, but as you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. When he was going through the trial, God had a purpose in that to save his whole family, the whole nation. But he didn't see it then. He just trusted God because God had given him a dream. And so that's repeated over and over. Jacob said, all these things are against me. And if you know the story, we won't take the time to tell it. All these things are against me, but they were all working for his good. Have you ever gone through something and said, now I get it. Now I know why God did it that way. I understand now. And boy, there's this awe. That's what I'm saying. If he's tried and proved in your life, you want to keep that faith. You want to keep that hope. Look back, remember, draw from those memories, and you'll get strength for the way. Jacob, all these things are against me. Paul said all these things work together for good. If you believe that, you can't believe the other one. Amen? So believe the scripture. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul had an affliction. I believe it was his eyes, and he prayed 3 times for the Lord to take that away. And if anybody could get prayers answered, it was the Apostle Paul. But 3 times he prayed, God, take away this thorn in my flesh. But God left it there for a reason, lest he should be exalted above measure. There's a story there too. But God didn't take the trial away. God's grace was sufficient. God gave grace so that we could endure the trial. Amen? You ever get in a trial and you want it to go? And it just ain't going. It's just not going anywhere. Hope in God. Amen. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. And you might not even praise Him in this life, but you'll praise Him for eternity. Just trust the Lord. Hope. To place confidence in, to trust with a confident expectation of good. Our hope is based on our faith in God. If you have faith in God, your hope will abound. If you're filled with the Word of God, the Spirit of Christ will fill you. And it's just such a simple way to look at it. But spend time in the Bible and then believe what you read. Amen? Him that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God can do that for us. The Lord shall be thy confidence. The Bible says, put not your confidence in man. Sometimes you just can't have that. I've depended on people. Sometimes you've depended on me. You've depended on somebody else. And nobody measures up like God. Amen? People will always disappoint you. Well, I'm only going to be around people that disappoint me. Bye. You know, I mean, there's an island somewhere. But if you take this truth, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I mean, there are some verses in the Bible. We're all in need of the mercy of God. And then God may put a merciful person in our life to show us that mercy. Amen? And that's just another way to see God. But Paul said, when they were about to be destroyed in that storm, he said, "Be of good cheer, I believe God." Well, how can you say that? Be of good cheer, I believe God. We're in the middle of a storm. You ever hear a message like this? Well, maybe this one. You're thinking, Pastor Del Mar, you're talking about having joy and peace and helping people and this and that. You don't even know what I'm going through. Well, I think we all go through it, you know, from time to time. But I'm not here today to tell you my problems. I'm here to tell you the solution to the problems. Amen? And maybe God will not take the thorn away or take the circumstance away, but He will give you grace. He will give you joy. How could that be? He will give you peace. I've read the verses. They're all there. And where did Paul get "be of good cheer"? Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." It's a Bible principle. Amen? And so he was talking to people and he was saying, you got tribulation, man, because in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I am the blessed hope. I'm coming back again. John chapter 14. If I go away, I'll come back again and receive you unto myself. That's the blessed hope. Amen? And sometimes what somebody say, we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. But I flip that. Sometimes we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. If all we think about is this life and the trial, where's the joy? The joy comes in looking how God is ministering to you through the trial and how He's using it in your life. Weep with those that weep, because tears come. The world's in a heartache, has trials. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But there's a day coming, and we sang about it. There's coming a day when all things are going to be good. The Bible teaches that. In Revelation chapter 7, read three scriptures. Well, I was going to say, and then I'll be done, but I won't be. Amen. But smile anyway and have joy. Amen. This is a real test. This is a test if you can have joy. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's a promise. That's good, isn't it? Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Same thing. God shall wipe away all tears. Here's a prophecy in Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall be taken away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. That's a promise. One day all the tears are going to be gone. They're all going to be gone. All the suffering, all the pain. We're trying to get out of the pain now, and one day we will be out of it. Turn to, are you still 1 Corinthians 15? Hopefully. Let's look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. God is saying this. This mortal shall put on immortality. God is saying that. One day that's going to happen. This mortal, this body, is going to be incorruptible. It's going to be a spiritual body. It says, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Remember, we talked about abounding in hope. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nobody appreciates it. God appreciates it. Nobody else knows. God knows. Amen. There's going to be rewards. It's going to be a blessing. I don't know everything about heaven, but what I know from the Bible is pretty good. Pretty wonderful. And as we go through things in this life, there's a purpose for it. But you can get joy and strength from the Lord, and that's where it would come from. Charles Wesley wrote a number of hymns, but he wrote this one. I didn't know what the tune was, so we didn't sing it this morning. But looking for that blessed hope, Jesus, my strength, my hope is the title. Here's a couple of verses. Jesus, my strength, my hope, on thee I cast my care. With humble confidence, look up and know thou hearest my prayer. I want a godly fear, a quick discerning eye that looks to thee when sin is near and bids the tempter fly. Remember in Numbers 21, everybody had been bitten by the serpent and the poison was entering their veins and they were dying. And God told Moses, put a serpent out of brass, put it on a pole and lift it up and tell everybody who's bitten by the serpent to look and live. And whenever they looked at that serpent on the pole made of brass, they lived and the poison didn't harm them. In John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we look to Christ, and that's what the whole blessed hope, amen, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. Lift up your eyes unto the mountains, from whence cometh your help. All of the places to put our eyes, our attention, so to speak, is on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we know him as our Savior, the poison will not kill us. Amen. We're healed, and we will be with the Lord for all eternity. Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. One more verse. Titus 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Are you happy you're saved? You have joy that you're saved. What greater joy is there than to know you're a Christian and that he's there all the time? Amen? We call on him anytime. He's always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And the deepest trial, he's still there. He's still accomplishing his purpose. And one day we'll be singing in heaven. Amen. But let's sing. Let's glorify him. Let's praise him. Let's be filled with his word and filled with the Spirit. And let that just run over on other people. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, I'll bet you've seen a Christian. I'll bet you've looked at somebody and said, boy, their faith is real. There is something to it. God makes it so easy for us to be saved, so easy. He gave himself, he went to the cross, he died, he paid our penalty. But for us, all we have to do is look to that cross. It's so easy. If you're here today, all men are sinners, the Bible says that. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. If you know that you're a sinner and that Jesus came to die for your sins, he can be your Savior today. All you have to do is pray and ask him. It's not all the getting all the words right. It's just meaning what you say. And you can pray this prayer. You don't have to say it out loud. God will hear the prayer of your heart. Say something like, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I'm a sinner, and you died for my sins. I believe that. You died on a cross for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Please forgive me. Give me a home in heaven. Oh, Lord, give me a home in heaven. And I ask it in Jesus' name. You know what? It's impossible for God to lie. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've asked him, enjoy it, because he's forgiven your sins. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the hope that we have that's sure and steadfast. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's